Welcome to the Knee Pain Guru podcast series. My name is Bill Paravano, and we also have another member of the Knee Pain Guru team on the call. His name is Michael Langley. Hello, Michael.
Hello, hello.
And I thought to bring Michael on the call. Michael's going to ask me the questions, and it'll be a little bit of a dialogue here, questions that come up for him regarding the questions that you have sent in for these podcasts. And of course, each week, this is where we go over different topics that you're dealing with and running into regarding chronic knee pain. And this is episode 7, and we're going to do a Q&A this week. And of course, I'm going to give my, the standard disclaimer. This information is just what the information that we're going to share on the podcast today is just what I have experienced in working with clients as well as myself over the past 10 or so years. If you do have any questions, of course, refer to your licensed healthcare professional. And the other piece on this is we're also going on the basis that whatever is going on with your knee, you've gone to the doctor and you've made sure there is nothing broken or torn. Make sure you get that checked out first so we know we have a good foundation to work with and move forward on as far as the exercise piece. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Michael, and Michael will go ahead and start with the questions.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Bill. Okay, first question. Well, my dilemma is that I don't have extreme pain like other people do. It's just that this pain has resulted recently as I started jogging, and also it's only in my left knee. So I am confused as am I supposed to have this only in one place? The pain only starts when I jog and when I'm going downhill. So please let me know your take on this.
Okay. Well, we didn't have a name for this person. However, generally, there's one thing that really needs to be taken into consideration when you're experiencing knee pain. If it's only a specific exercise you're doing or a specific situation that you're doing. And a lot of, I've really not heard anybody talk about it, at least in physical therapy, physiotherapy type of circles or exercise. And that is your mental state when you're doing these exercises. And that was one of the issues that I had had, that when I would, when I first injured my knee, there would be situations that I would create, meaning going for a bike ride. And instead of just going for a bike ride when my body was, it was done with the workout, I would continue pushing myself. There was a mental state that I had that I always felt I needed to push more and more and more and more and more. And what ends up happening is it can cause pain. There's a point at which the body says that's enough. And when we don't look at our mental state when we're doing certain exercises, our mental state can contribute a huge amount to the pain you have when you're jogging. This individual is having issues when they jog. So I think the mental state is a big piece that can be looked at as well. And that, of course, that mental piece ties in to the physical issues that you're having. This is a perfect example that a person who's in a good mood is going to have a different physical posture than a person that's in a bad mood. You can see this when a person walks in the room. It's like you can walk into a room full of people and see, oh, that person's in arguing with somebody, and this person is laughing and joking, and this person looks real tense, and this person looks real loose and relaxed. And it's the same thing when we take that type of mental attitude or that emotional state into a workout, our body will hold tension differently our body will work out differently. The experience of the workout will be different. And as a result, the tension is going to be different, which can cause injuries. The body is physically holding a different tension pattern. And so looking at the mental state is important. You can also look at just how the bones are lining up. That can cause the issue. And, of course, what can cause the bones to change is how we hold ourselves physically. So this is kind of zooming in and zooming out as far as what's happening. And consequently, when someone has a knee injury like that and they go to a medical professional, the medical professional will say, well, you have to strengthen the muscles around the knee. And it, in a sense, what happens is if you exercise to strengthen a dysfunctional tension pattern that your body has taken on from an injury, what ends up happening is you strengthen the dysfunction. So it's not always about strengthening the tense spot. It's about strengthening what is perceived as being weak. It's also about loosening what's tight. So it's kind of like you're raising the bridge and lowering the river at the same
right.
time. So anyhow, if hopefully that covers what is going on. And in my experience, when a person is having difficulties going downhill, it's usually what's called a femur override, which is where the femur, the bone in the upper leg, slides slightly over the top of the bone in the lower leg. And it's like on an x-ray or a CT scan or an MRI, it's going to look pretty normal. Mm-hmm. However, just a half a millimeter change in how the bones line up can impinge on the nerves and cause discomfort, especially like going downhill. So,
okay. So you think part of it at the beginning, though, you were talking about, you know, when someone walks in a room and you look at their expression, but so the anxiety that one may build upon before I start running or jogging downhill, my mind's already saying to myself, ooh, this is going to hurt when I run downhill.
Well, it's even before that.
Okay.
It's like if you had a really bad day at work and you're really pissed off and then you go work out and you're trying to, like, get that aggression out, yet you push yourself in that state already, there is – your body's not – anatomically correct. It's not as straight and tall as you normally would be if you were relaxed.
Correct.
So what happens is you're putting more stress on the structure. You're putting more stress on the nervous system, and there's more of a chance to get injured in that state. Well, now you associate that exercise with that anxious state, and there's more of a tendency for that pattern or that groove to run in your body and your nervous system that causes you to re-injure the same thing over and over again.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Moving on to the next question. This is from Lorraine. I am a 53-year-old woman. The doctor told me that the kneecap has moved, and that is what is causing fluid on the knee. He advised cortisone for inflammation and icing for 20 minutes at a time. How can a kneecap move without ligament damage? I refused the cortisone because I'm a chicken about needles and extraction of the fluid twice was painful. I'm told the cortisone shot is painful. He then prescribed an anti-inflammatory, Arcoxia, 90 milligrams, and an exercise, which involves tensing my knee, inside muscle, and foot towards my face, and then lifting leg up about 7 inches to strengthen the muscles around the knee to pull the kneecap back. The question is this possible? And thanks for getting back to me, Lorraine.
Okay. Okay, here's a couple of things. how can the kneecap move without ligament damage? Well, the kneecap is pretty free-floating in the leg, especially if you straighten your leg out. And the patella, which is your kneecap, is held in place by your patella tendon, which holds the kneecap in place. So the kneecap, as long as you're not tensing up your leg and you straighten your leg out, you can push your kneecap around quite a bit. When the kneecap is painful, what's happening is the kneecap is holding a tension pattern that's causing it to hurt. Meaning you may have fallen on your knee or smacked your knee or twisted your knee in a way that caused part of your knee, which involved your kneecap, to tense up in a way to protect itself from getting injured further. It's this pattern is functional for the injury. It's dysfunctional for you to move around without the pain. So it's not, once again, it's like in the first question, it's not about raising the bridge, it's about lowering the river. It's not about strengthening what became loose, it's about loosening what's tight. And a perfect example is if you wake up and your kneecap all of a sudden is hurting, it isn't like you just lost strength overnight. It's like losing strength takes place over a period of time. So it's more likely that something's holding on too tight that needs to be loosened than strengthening what's weak. Is that making sense?
Yes, it is.
So the idea when you have this dysfunctional pattern that's impinging on the nerves, that's sending a signal to your brain that you have knee pain, that consequently what causes many issues. So that's one of the things that I talk about in my virtual clinic. I got a number of videos in there that I go into how exactly to work with the patella or the kneecap and how you can release those tension patterns that actually do not take a very long time at all. The cortisone shots can be painful. I've worked with clients that have gotten cortisone shots, and sometimes they work after a couple days. Sometimes they work immediately and then wear off after a while, and then they need to go for more cortisone shots. And then I've also had clients who have had cortisone shots that they've hit nerves when they're going in to give the cortisone shots that cause it to be more painful. So cortisone shots, very best, are just a Band-Aid on the situation, and the idea is that they can get you through a really painful period so your body can begin the healing process. However, I'm not a fan of needles myself, so.
You need them.
Yeah, so let's see. The tensing the knee and putting the foot towards the face, that's a good exercise. The question is, are you doing this in reps? Or are you doing it for a long period of time? The difference of those is going to determine whether you're working tendons and ligaments or you're working muscles. And that's a big piece I go in my ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now, the difference between those and how you can tell if you're strengthening tendons and ligaments or just muscles. So that's something to consider. However, if you're doing the exercise to pull the kneecap back in place, once again, I think it's more of what needs to happen is loosen what's tight as opposed to strengthening to bring the kneecap back into alignment. So that's my take on that.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next question. Hi, Bill. Thanks for sending me various messages on knee pain. I've been suffering from knee pain for the past 15 years, and it has become increasingly painful for the past 3 years. I find it difficult to come down the stairs than to go up the stairs. The pain is more intense on my left knee, and I must point out that I have knock knees. Over the years, I've been taking a lot of glucosamine and chondroitin and MSM, calcium, and a lot of painkillers when the pain is unbearable. I've just bought an exercise bike and am on it 1 hour every day. I appreciate any other form of exercise and information on the knee pain. Thank you, Elgin Team Nicole.
Okay. Let's see. The pain going down the stairs, that's a common one. That was like in the first question, when pain
right.
going downhill. It's the same type of tension pattern that's going on. And you'll see a consistency. A lot of people have this type of pain, and it's because the bone in the upper leg is slid slightly over the top of the bone in the lower leg, so it's painful in extending. So when you're making that step, as the incline is going down further, you have to really straighten your leg out, and in doing so, that impinges on the nerves in the knee, causing the pain. I think the supplements are good, and that's definitely something you'd want to check with your doctor regarding. One thing that I have found very beneficial for myself is a supplement, magnesium, and specifically a one that is you can make into a tea. I have it on the website, the Knee Pain Guru website. It's called Natural Calm, and it's a magnesium supplement, and you basically make it into a tea. It's a warm drink, and it has like a lemon flavor to it, and it's really nice. If you drink that right before you go to bed, you sleep like a baby, and that's a huge part in the body's recovery, is being able to relax your nervous system, to relax the tension in your body so your nervous system backs off and allows your body to rest and recuperate. So that's one thing that I would, one of the things that I'd suggest in terms of the supplements. I'd check on the calcium. The calcium sometimes can actually create tension in the body. Usually they have calcium and magnesium supplements, and calcium can actually calcium creates bone density, so it creates more tension in the body in a sense. So you might want to check on the calcium and check with your doctor on that, about if that's what you want to take. The exercise bike, being on it an hour a day is great. However, one thing I would suggest is to make sure your feet are attached to the pedals, meaning that you're not just pushing down on the pedals. You need to have like they call them toe clips, where it's like a little strap that's on the pedal. And the reason being is when you pedal, you want to get the full range of motion of the leg. Because if you're just pushing down, you're only working the knee in one direction. You're only pushing on it. You're not pulling. And you aren't able to pull unless you have that strap on there to be able to do like a full circle, a full revolution when you're doing that. So that's something that I would highly suggest, is getting some sort of toe clip. Or if you're really getting into cycling, they have the clipless pedals, which are special shoes and special pedals where the bottoms of your feet actually clip on. You'll see like people that do the Tour de France will have those types of shoes and pedals. And that's going to help the full range of motion with the leg. You're going to get a circle out of the knee as opposed to just pushing down. Mm-hmm. And that can contribute to a dysfunctional tension pattern, because you're only strengthening one direction instead of bringing balance to it.
Okay. I want to get back real fast. I have a quick question back to the stare issue, kind of for both questions, the first question and this one. But if somebody knows when I'm about to walk downstairs, okay, it's been typically been painful. I would think that human nature would tell someone, okay, well, I want to overcompensate on my right leg, put more pressure on it than my left so I don't feel that pain. Doing this repeatedly, could this lead to other damage or pain in other parts of the body?
Yeah, exactly. The body, you have an injury. Let's say it's a left knee injury, which seems to be one of the in the today knees.
Right.
Use. So what happens is the body compensates away from the left knee, and it throws the tension into the right leg and into the right hip. So it has to balance out, otherwise you'd fall over. So you protect the left knee, you compensate in the right hip, in the right leg, which consequently gives issues in the right knee and potentially the right ankle. I've had clients who this was before they started working with me, they got a knee replacement in one leg. And that the pain went away in that leg, well, then they started having the same issue in the other knee a few years later. And it's because the body is compensating for that initial injury. And even though they have the knee replacement in the one knee, that doesn't mean that the original issue still isn't there. The body's still compensating for that, and then it has to go to another place. And if you can address what's going on in the knee and allow the pain, allow the understanding of your body from the pain and discomfort in the knees and to really address the issue, then it doesn't develop into worse things later. So that's a great question.
Okay. Thanks. That makes sense. That's what I was thinking. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Moving on. Hi, Bill. Just starting your program, and I had some questions. You provide more details, such as what muscles or ligaments are being strengthened or stretched, and what the main goal is for the following exercises. We've got the wall squatted sit, ankle walk, the advanced wall squat, duck walking, one-legged squat. It's not that I don't think that they are good exercises. It's just helpful for me to know what each exercise is specifically trying to accomplish. My reason for trying your program is my left knee is definitely weaker and less stable than my right. Part of this is due to an old basketball injury many years ago. I had my knee scoped, and the surgeon found that one of the ligaments, and I don't remember which one, the ACL or PCL, had been stretched quite a bit but not torn. Everything else inside looked good and healthy, so the surgeon did nothing more. And my flexibility in both legs is still pretty good, but the quads and hip flexor in my left leg seem weaker than in my right. Also, would leg extensions and leg curls be of any help? I have access to these machines at the local rec center. Thanks in advance for your help, Tom Erickson.
Okay. The specific... Gosh, to be honest, I haven't really got into the specific tendons and ligaments that are being worked because there's so many of them. You can thin slice it 1,000 different ways, and you can get into the best thing is to look at an anatomy book. All of them are worked when you work those exercises. The big thing, especially with the wall squatted sit, the big part or the big focus on the wall squatted sit is your posture, making sure you have posture. So this one, you're facing a wall and you're going down into a squat. And a big thing of what people do is that they lean forward. And in doing so, it throws the tension into their their lower back and all into their legs, and it puts a lot of pressure on the knees. So by doing the squat facing the wall, you have proper posture, and you really strengthen the tendons and ligaments in the knees. You're looking at all of them, the ACL and the PCL, what he was talking about later. And is with all of the other ones, the ankle walk, the advanced wall squat, the duck walking, the one-legged squat. The idea is you're strengthening those functional muscles, the tendons, the functional ways the body moves, so you get back and you feel normal again when you move. And this is what's really interesting here is he's talking about an old ligament injury. So what happened? You had an initial injury, and then the body compensated to protect itself. And then you have continued that dysfunction. So the idea with those exercises is to just build that strength back in to bring that balance in how you walk and how you move. So as far as the leg extensions and leg curls, I'm not a big fan of those, because what happens is those really work muscles in the legs, and the muscles are not in your knee joint, and that's where the strength needs to happen. The strength needs to be built, and by specifically following the protocol in the book, that's what's going to build the strength in the tendons and ligaments in the knee joint itself. So, that the leg extensions, leg curls, to be honest, I tend to have more issues in my knees if I ever do those types of exercises. And to be honest, I haven't done those in quite a long time, probably over 10, 11, 12 years.
Right. Well.
Actually, you know, to be honest, the last time I did the leg extensions and leg curls was at the physical therapist when I was rehabbing from
after surgery.
And that was only to measure the strength in the muscles to make sure the left leg was as strong as the right leg. But in actuality, even though the muscles were balanced and as strong, I did not feel normal. I still had pain in my knee. So it's not a function of muscles. It's a function of tendons and ligaments.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Okay.
If that doesn't answer Tom's question, you know, shoot us another email.
Sure. Okay, moving on. Dear Bill, I had a stroke in 2008. My own fault for ignoring good health in favor of overeating to handle emotional issues. My knees were already damaged due to being 300 pounds on a 5-foot frame. I was down to 220 pounds when I stroked and have been rehabbing and trying to fight off more weight for a year. I've consistently continued resistance training with wonderful increases in strength and balance, but my knees have prevented the cardio I was doing pre-stroke because I hyperextended the left knee when I had the stroke and then had 3 major falling injuries to the left knee as I was relearning to walk. My trainer at the gym has gotten me out of a wheelchair, off the walker, and we threw away the cane. But my knees get so stiff when I sit. I also lose range of motion as I stiffen. I'm reading your book and plan to start the exercises tonight. I know this is the right way to go because my knees feel normal, virtually pain-free after each session with my trainer. But after 12 to 24 hours, I'm back to pain and stiffness. I'm very hopeful and determined. I will keep you posted on my journey to healthy knees. With that background information, my question, will using SAM-E and upping my fish oils help? I drink 4 liters of water daily and eat a lot of fish, veggies, and salads as my main foods. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. I do have my doctor's okay for all exercise. I'm going to be 60, and blood pressure and cholesterol, et cetera, are normal. Thanks, Mary.
Okay. Well, kudos for Mary for, mm-hmm. you know, continue to hitting it hard after having a stroke. That's, man, that's a rough way to go. And, gosh, she's off of the wheelchair, the walker, and threw away the cane. That's inspirational.
It is.
And, Michael, what is it with left knees today?
All of them are left knees.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Maybe it's reflecting mine.
Exactly.
Okay.
They knew.
Let's see. What do we got here? The Sammy, to be honest, I'm not too familiar with. That is something I have no personal experience with, so I really couldn't speak of too much on that. However, the fish oils, I do believe, are incredibly helpful. And that, the reason being is the fish oil helps with inflammation in the body, and mainly in the gut. And from having a Western diet, there's generally a lot of inflammation, gut inflammation from grains and dairy and sugar, which irritates the gut lining and causes inflammation in the intestines. Well, what happens is, this is like a low level of inflammation that stays in our body most of the time. So now you add a knee injury on top of that, the body is trying to deal with inflammation in two different areas. So it gets to be overwhelming, and the fish oil actually helps heal the inflammation in the gut, which will speed up the healing the inflammation in the knees as well. As a matter of fact, the book that I have on the website that goes into in-depth on this is The Paleo Diet, written by Dr. Lauren Cordain. And on a side note, I'm actually in conversation with Dr. Cordain to set up a time to interview him. So that I'm looking forward to that. And he would get into the details on the issues of chronic inflammation as well as inflammation from an acute injury type of situation. So back to Mary's thing. The fish and veggies and salads, that's really great. That you want to definitely get plenty of protein, and whether it be from fish or chicken or beef, and grass-fed beef would be ideal. You're looking at it being a lot healthier for your body, because your body needs the protein in order to repair the damaged tissues, the damage that's going on in the knees. So getting rid of any food that's causing irritations, like the dairy and the grains and the sugar, is going to take your foot off the brake, so to speak, so your body is able to heal itself faster, and the fish oil will help speed up that process.
Okay, I have a question that came out of that. She said, you know, when she works out with her trainer, which she loves, it's virtually pain-free, and it seems that for Mary, about 12 to 24 hours after her sessions is when, you know, the pain and stiffness come back in. Does it matter, like, at what time she takes the fish oil? Does that have anything to do with it?
I think the fish oil needs to be pretty consistent. That book, The Paleo Diet, really gets into the amount of fish oil that you would want to take in order to promote the healing that's going on in the intestines. They talk about, gosh, I think a tablespoon of fish oil per 10 pounds of body weight per day, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's from a typical American diet, where you're talking about a lot of burgers and fries and fast food and and things like that that causes a lot of damage to our intestines. And that's just for a therapeutic period of time. And once again, you can refer to the book for all of those details. It really gets into a lot of details on how to approach that. However, what I'm thinking, and usually the protocol that I've been working with to help people with their knees is, like the exercises in the book, they really need to only do a couple minutes a day. And you split it up in the morning and in the evening, and you continue to strengthen those tendons and ligaments by fatiguing the muscles and getting them out of the way. I really think she works with that. Like she said, she's just started. She was going to start those exercises tonight. I think that's really going to help her in her process. That's really going to take care of a lot of the pain that she's experiencing in her knees.
Okay.
So it isn't like you need to load a huge workout every day or a huge workout several times a week. I think it's those little short, intense workouts that are going to allow the knees to rehab much quicker.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, thank you. All right, moving on. Hi, Bill. I just watched a video of your knee pain swelling and what you call the garden hose effect. My problem is I had arthroscopy for a torn medial meniscus 8 weeks ago. Overall, till now, the recovery has been just okay. Some days still sore and some days good. I've had a couple days where it was excellent, thinking it's all better rather than just okay. I'm nowhere near being able to run on it. Not that I run, to give you an idea. I went back to see the surgeon. He said it appears to be healing okay, but increased the rehab exercises as I really wasn't doing any. Now I've been doing leg raises, no weight, just the leg, at night with no problem, and it seems to be good. Then 2 days ago I woke and could hardly walk and have bad swelling around the knee or fluid. Then back to see the surgeon. He thinks it might be just flare, and I have a flare-up. I've been icing it as well as elevating it and taking it easy. Woke this morning, no change, and I'm very concerned this operation hasn't worked. Does this sound normal to you? Why does this happen? Can there be a problem? Or was it just through the leg raises maybe, but they were very light, as in 20 slow reps? I'm very worried as I cannot afford to go under the knife again, plus with the time off work. I really would have thought 8 weeks after the operation I should be like brand new. Thanks, Dale.
Okay, the arthroscopy, it's all over the board as far as how fast people heal with that. Sometimes, you know, I've heard of people that they had arthroscopy and then, you know, within a couple days they're playing soccer again, and then there's other people that are, you know, it's several years after their arthroscopy and they're still having issues. So it's really all over the board. I think the fact, it sounds like, based on what Dale is saying, when he went back to see the surgeon, that it appeared to be healing, but he needed to increase the rehab exercises because he really wasn't doing any. And I think there's a big piece there. If you're not doing something, and then all of a sudden you throw a lot of work at the body doesn't have time to adjust to it. And it's kind of like, you know, saying, screw you, mm-hmm. that, you know, you were just sitting around not doing anything, and then you did, even though it's 20 slow reps, that can be a lot when you weren't doing anything before. So I think it's important to start gradually and be consistent. That has a lot to do with it, which can be contributing to the swelling that was going on around there. So once again, I believe there's five components that are going on that can cause the pain still to be in the knee, and I talk about it with the water and the nutrition. You got to put the good fuel in the tank, and you got to have enough water to flush the toxins out of your body. The old cells dying off, and they need to be moved out. And if there's not enough water, the body doesn't have the fluid that it needs to clean itself out. It's like the garbage men are on strike.
And, right.
And the food, it's the fuel, and that can contribute to swelling as well. The inflammation of what we were talking about in the last question with Mary. As far as the situation of a chronic inflammation situation, and then now the body is dealing with the chronic inflammation in the gut, and now it's dealing with the added load of exercise that it hasn't experienced before, so now it swells up, and the body needs to deal with that too. So I really don't think if that's all he's really done as far as exercise were the 20 slow reps and his knee swelled up again, I don't think that anything is wrong per se. I don't think anything has been damaged. I just think to start setting up some systems and habits that create the conditions to make the healthy knees inevitable. So you're looking at water, looking at nutrition, looking at the exercise. Start slow, be consistent. Make sure you're stretching the calves, the quads, the hamstrings. And it's a big piece. And then, of course, those tension patterns that I was talking about that cause the discomfort, that cause the pain, and working with those by taking the knee to a position of comfort or the leg to a position of comfort so the nervous system recognizes that place of comfort and begins to unwind and let go of that tension. So I believe that can be very beneficial too. And usually in my experience, when you look at all of those factors and you set yourself up so the knee pain is going to go away. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're doing everything the body needs to allow it to heal itself. So I think in Dale's situation, what's happening is, just commitment and consistency. And then it's gonna happen. The knee pain will go away. The knee will heal.
Right. So. Now, Dale said he'd been icing it and elevating it as well and taking it easy. The icing, I understand, but when one's elevating it, does any elevation work, or are you wanting to kind of look for your comfort zone, so to speak, as you've referred to, when you're elevating that knee to take pressure off? Does that make a difference?
What he's talking about is the standard protocol. They call it RICE therapy. Rest, ice, compression, and elevation. And the rest, of course, is don't push the knee. Don't try to do something that's going to injure it more. Ice it, of course, is getting a cold on it, whether it be ice packs or some people use frozen vegetables they'll put on their knee. And the compression, which would be some sort of like a sleeve you've seen, like those socks they'll pull up, and they'll have the little gap for the kneecap that'll be on the knee that creates a little bit of compression, and then elevation. And the idea with the elevation is that the knee is below the heart, which will allow the swelling to go down. The idea with the ice is that it creates it causes the knee to be cold, and when the knee's cold, it will throw more blood to the knee to keep the knee warm. And as a result, the more blood you have in and around the knee, that will help heal what's going on, the damage that has taken place. And the compression, it's kind of like squeezing a sponge and getting it an old dry sponge and squeezing it so you can get the water into it on, in a sink. What happens is if you have swelling and then you put compression on it and then you take the compression off, it's like the blood wants to rush into that area where it was squeezed out before. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea and the mentality with the rice therapy. From the sounds of what Dale was talking about, I don't believe it's the same idea as taking the body to a position of comfort.
Okay.
He's just getting it above his heart.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. Moving on. Hey, Bill. I'm a competitive weightlifter and have never had any knee problems until 2 months ago when I put a new roof on my house and was on my knees for 16 hours over a two-day period. For the last 2 months, I've had swelling in my right knee anytime I squat or run. I've been icing 3 times a day and not squatting. I've continued to train my upper body, but my knee isn't getting better, and I have a competition. The pain is in the vastus laterals, where it connects in with my knee, and also at the bottom part of my kneecap at the top of my shin. What can I do to fix this problem and help me get through this competition? Thank you, Josh. And we have a right knee finally.
Oh, finally a right knee. Perfect. Josh, okay. Josh, this goes back to the tension patterns that the body holds on to. He's up on a roof. 16 hours over a two-day period, that's a lot of work. Roofing work is not easy. So, of course, there's a certain, shall we say, pucker factor that's involved in being on a roof, if that's not your profession. So there's a tension, there's a fear of doing that. Just being up on the roof and then you're working that long over a two-day period and all of that's involved in putting on the roof, the body holds on to a tension pattern. You're talking about the different aspects of your nervous system. You got the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic, which is the fight, flight, or freeze, that causes the body to tense up, and the parasympathetic, which is the rest and relax. And when you're up on a roof like that, your body is in hyper alert mode for 2 days like that. Now, when you're kneeling on your knees and your body's in that hyper alert mode, it holds on to that tension pattern in that bent over kneeled position. Now you try to stand up and you try to move around, it's still holding on to that dysfunctional tension pattern that was there to keep you safe while you were on the roof. Causes issues, causes problems in those areas that Josh is experiencing. So the icing is a good thing. Of course, the rice therapy is your standard protocol. However, what isn't being looked at is relaxing those tension patterns. Relaxing and taking the body to a position of comfort and recognizing the cues that the nervous system will give, that the body will give, to let go of that tension that it's holding on to. So that's something that I, you know, it's really difficult to exactly explain on the phone or on the conference call like it is. However, I go into a huge amount of detail in the virtual clinic where it's what I refer to as passive stretching exercises, where you're taking the body to a position of comfort and allowing the nervous system to recognize that comfort and let go of the tension that it's holding on to. So that what I believe would be the best advice I could give to Josh to address what's going on, to relax those tension patterns and allow him to get back and then to his weightlifting competition.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. Next question. Okay, Bill, I've been reading your emails. How can your ideas help me when my patella is ground into my femur? not sitting on, but like an asteroid, it is buried in my bone. The rest of my knee structure is good for a very active 52-year-old. The main discomfort or pain I have are three cysts, one a medium-sized Baker cyst at the back of my knee, and another 6-centimeter one that stretches down to my calf muscle. My kneecaps are congenitally on very east and west more than normal person. They actually point up. And my SI joint is also out of whack. Thanks for your help, Marie.
Okay. Once again, I believe the cysts form as a result of tension that the body's holding on to and not having enough water to flush itself out. That's not to say that doing the passive stretching exercises and drinking more water is going to make the cysts go away once they've already formed. However, it allows for the opportunity for the body to clean itself out. And I use the example of unkinking the garden hose. However, once those things have been there for a long period of time, sometimes the only way of those going away is for them to be cut out. So that would be your doctor's call on that one. As far as the patella ground into your femur, well, you'd have to go back. Why did that happen? What did you fall on your knee that caused it to be so tight? Has it always been that way? I do believe it goes back to tension patterns that the body is holding on to, the kneecap is holding on to. And by taking it to a position of comfort, you allow the kneecap to begin to get more space between the femur, the tibia, the femur, which is the bone in the upper leg, the tibia, which is the bone in the lower leg, and the fibula, which is the other bone in the lower leg, and the kneecap all make up the knee joint. And when you take the kneecap to a position of comfort and look for those cues in the nervous system that allow it to create the space and let go of that tension, the body begins to heal. The body begins to get more space. And more space in the kneecap allows for many things to happen. One is that the patella is no longer grinding on the bones in the knee. That's one thing. The other thing is blood and oxygen are able to get in and heal in and around the patella and heal what's going on as far as the rubbing on the bones. Heal what's going on as far as the tension in the Baker cyst that's going on behind the knee. I believe what contributes to the Baker cyst is that femur override that we were talking about earlier in the call. Mm-hmm. When the femur shifts over the top of the tibia. And when it does that, that means the tibia is pushed backwards. So it's going to be sensitive behind your knee just below the kneecap, which can contribute, that's going to be where the kink in the garden hose is. That's where the pressure is going to be. That's where all of the gunk, because a cyst is essentially gunk from your body that can't be cleaned out. The garbage men are on strike again. Mm-hmm. They can't get that stuff out of there, so the cyst forms. So now you begin to unkink the garden hose, and you get the water in there to flush it out, and then you get the nutrients in there from the proper diet, and the body knows how to heal itself. So that's my take on that.
Okay, makes sense.
Real quick, Michael, the SI joint is also out of whack. Well, most likely the SI joint is out of whack on the opposite side. We don't know if it's, I don't think she said whether the left or right knee.
Marie didn't.
So if it's her left knee, because everyone else is left knee,
except Josh.
Okay. if it's Marie's left knee, then her right SI joint's going to have issues because the body has to compensate. And if it's her right knee, then it's going to be her left SI joint. And that's how the body tends to compensate for that, for what's going on. Injury compensation. It has to put that tension somewhere else to keep the body from getting injured further. So, anyhow.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Bill. Next question. Bill, I want to know if the physical therapy will be able to reverse the ligament of knee to the original position and reduce the pain without going for surgery. That's from CC Shaw.
Okay. CC, that it, I'm going to guess at what they're getting at here. And once again, there's like a bunch of questions that come into my mind. Is the ligament torn?
Right.
Is the ligament partially torn, or is it fully torn? Because if it's fully torn, then there's a whole other set of things that need to be looked at than if it's partially torn, than if it's just strained. Or is the ligament been twisted and it's just kind of out of place? So based on how that ligament is, I'm going to give a different answer for each of them. If the ligament is fully torn, then I would look at how old are you and do you want to continue to be active? Because if you're in your 20s and the ligament is fully torn, I'd probably suggest talk to your surgeon about getting a ligament replacement. If it's partially torn, then yes, the body can heal it without surgery. It just takes a really long time because ligaments do not have a blood flow of their own. If it's just strained, then you need to rest it as well and give it time to heal. Put in the water, put in the nutrition that heals what's going on in the body. And that's going to help. And then, of course, if it's, the knee was twisted and the ligament is out of place, then we need to look at taking the knee to a position of comfort to engage the reflexes to allow the body to let go of the tension it's holding up to. So, yeah, it's and if it's just the issue of pain, then we need to zoom out and look at those five factors: the water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing as to what's going on to reduce the pain. So there's so many factors that go into how to address what's going on in the knee. More information is needed to be able to understand how to properly answer the question.
Right. So a lot of variables there.
Yeah, there are a huge amount of variables. So if that doesn't answer CC's question, then please send in another one.
Sure. A little more detail. Okay. Moving on. Hello, Bill. I've been reading your emails. Thanks for the advice regarding my knee pains. I would like to check about the foods to eat. What do you mean by live, organic, and natural foods? And what examples can you give me? Thanks, and waiting to hear from you, Kanta.
Okay. Now, live, organic, natural foods. Foods would be foods that ideally you have just been pulled out of your garden or picked off of a tree. That's like real live food. After food has been picked, after food has been harvested, what tends to happen is it can be processed. There's lots of degrees of processing, whether it be in a can. Generally, if you look at the perimeter of a grocery store, you're going to have things that need to be refrigerated or kept fresh. So that is live, fresh type of foods. if you go to the center of the store, that's generally where they have things in cans and jars and things like that with lots of preservatives and additives, that those cans can sit there on that shelf and you could eat that food 6 months from now or 6 years from now. They put expiration dates on those. However, for all intents and purposes, it's really not going to change all that much. So those foods are going to be, they're preserved. They're not live. They're not not natural, meaning the fruit you get in out of a can is not going to be the same as if you pick a piece of fruit off of a tree and eat it. So that food that you're going to pick off of a tree is going to have more nutritional value, more available to your body to heal what's going on in your knees than the fruit that's in a can that has lots of preservatives and sugar and syrup and things like that on it. So that's what I was going at. There's a website. It is called, let me look it up right now. I believe it's It is localharvest.org, localharvest.org. And that has, you can put in, I believe it's North America at this point. It may be worldwide. However, you could put in your, as far as North America goes, you can put in your zip code, your city, or your state, and it will give you all of the local farmers markets and groceries and co-ops that provide the those types of foods that you would be looking for. It, you know, to be able to get the lettuce or the tomatoes or the food directly from the farmer who's growing it, you're going to have a closer relationship and connection than if they're shipping that food from halfway around the world that has been on a truck or on a plane for it's taken several days to get to you. So if you go to a local farmer's market and they've just picked it out of their field either the night before or the morning of, that's going to be, you're going to get more nutritional value and more benefit from that type of food than if you go to a grocery store and the stuff's been sitting there in a can for a long time, or it's been, you know, handled by dozens of people and shipped and irradiated, and there's all sorts of other stuff they do to the foods that's not for discussion today.
Right. I don't know about you, but in my own personal experience, this kind of goes back to question one that you were getting into with, you know, anxiety or feeling you're going to feel a certain way, but you know, I can definitely tell a difference of my mental status and just the way my body feels after I've eaten what I consider a healthy meal, you know, cooked from foods I got from the farmer's market or the fresh market or whatnot. I just feel like my body feels better, and I don't know whether it actually does or it's just my mind telling my body that, but I just feel better after I feel like I've eaten healthy, fresh veggies.
There's a whole lot to that, and
right.
That's something that it's really good to just experiment for a couple of days. Try buying from a local farmer and having a few meals over a few days from them and see how you feel, and then going back to your grocery store and trying a couple, you know, next couple days, just eat food from there and see how you feel. And you're going to be the one that's going to judge. You're going to one that's going to have that experience that's going to find out what works best for you.
Right.
And many people's experience is that when they get more fresh type of foods that is locally grown, that is harvested within a short period of time, people are way healthier, feel
right.
better, and your body has a better chance to heal itself. So, okay, I think that's all the questions for today.
Yeah, that's all for questions. And We thank you for your insight and expertise, and we look forward to a set of questions on the next seminar, Bill.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you, Michael, and thanks for everybody being on the call.
Yeah. Everybody have a great week.
Okay.